just grateful to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Blessed Sabbath to you. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that that's not how the story ends. You know, the Jewish leaders, they wanted it to end that way. They said that we'll cook up a lie and say they stole his body. But the Bible says that he hung around for about almost a month and a half showing himself so people would know that the story didn't end in the tomb. He was just getting started. The Bible says that he told his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. It's good to be back in the house with familiar friends and family. God bless you, musicians, praise team as well. Just walking into a building that is so far from what you call home, but you feel right at home because you see familiar faces and feel your family around you. MOH, is a blessing to be here. I'm going to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just want to read this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Bible says, having a form of godliness, but I'm going to start over. I'm sorry. I think I'm just going to reread it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. Today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about power. Power. We're praying. Father in heaven, thank you for your mercy and for your love. We appreciate, dear Lord, this opportunity. We appreciate, dear God, your love for us. Now we ask, dear Lord, that you'll teach us more of you. Help us, dear Lord, to shut down, dear Lord, and just lock into you now. I ask that you'll remove all distractions, dear Father. Bind the devil, dear Lord, and his agencies of evil, dear Lord. Bind them both hand and foot. Move him, dear Lord, from this place. Gag him, I pray. And dear Lord, may we experience the full breadth of your love and your awesomeness this day. Holy Spirit, come. Preach, O Lord. Move me. And may we all learn, dear God, more of you and become like you henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to just spend some time in this passage of scripture and massaging it with another passage of scripture. Because what happens is, a lot of times if you have a carrier oil or a carrier, something to kind of, you know, mix, you know, you have a mocktail and you mix the juices. So we're going to mix some juices today. So we're going to take a little ginger and mix it with some sorrel. Just going to mix up. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, it's a scripture that wraps itself around the very song that the praise scene closed with. And it's a powerful experience because as John goes through this love experiment that Christ is exhibiting to the earth, and as he's going through this, it is a culmination of what he came to earth to do. But there's a conversation that I want to just highlight, and if you could go through this conversation and you can go through it with me, we'll be able to get you out of here so you can go and spend time in passing out tracts and giving food to the people who are hungry. That's the plan for today, right? I almost said Sadventist, but Adventist. Adventist, that's what we're going to do today. Bible says that Pilate came to Jesus, right? And I want to just read this verse to you. The Bible says he scourged him. It opens up by saying, therefore, he took Jesus and scourged him. In other words, it opens up the whole chapter that Christ is being beaten, right? That's how the chapter opens. And then they have this conversation. First, he beats him, and then he turns around and wants to have a conversation. And as he beats him, has anyone been beat before? I know the new age children haven't been beat, but I'm talking about the old school children, those who deserved it, right? I'd raise my hand, but I have a mic in my hand. So The Bible says he beats him and then he wants to speak to him. Now, usually anyone who's gotten a good beating, you know how the beating works, right? They speak to you first and then they beat you, right? But if you really did it, this is my experience in Caravana, so you can relate. What they do is, as they're beating you, they have the conversation between each lick. And if you ever have any hesitation and you can't answer the questions properly that are being asked of you while you're being beat, you make the beating just intensify even more. So you really want to be on your P's and Q's while getting beat about answering right. No, never again. But you want to get it all out and make sure you respond accordingly, right? Because the more you try to hold it in and be all hard and brave, I tried it, or grab the belt. You ever grab the belt? Don't grab the belt. But the Bible says that he beats him, opens up. John said he opens up, he beats him. And as he beats Jesus, right, Pilate says to him, hey, what do you have to say about yourself? You just beat me. Now, I want to take you to this verse. This is powerful. The Bible then turns to Jesus, because the Jews are coming back and forth, they're saying things. And then Jesus goes into the he's in the judgment hall in verse 9. And it says, and he went again, this is Pilate, into the judgment hall and says to Jesus, where are you from? And Jesus gave him no answer. Now, he just finished beating Jesus, right? Got some word from the enemies and then comes back and asks Jesus, okay, where are you from? So you don't even know where I'm from, but now you want to have a conversation after you beat me. The Bible says Jesus did not answer him a word. And here's what Pilate says to trigger a response from Christ. I'm in verse 10. He says, speakest thou not to me? In other words, don't you even think you should answer me? Don't you know, watch this, that I have power to crucify you, and I have power, watch what he says, to release you. Now remember, our scripture focus says having a form of godliness, but doing what? Denying what? Power. But Pilate says he has the power to crucify and to release. And here's where Jesus, after being beaten, after his back is all open and raw, he then turns to Pilate and he says, you have no power. This is heavy. He says to him, you could have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. He says, and if you would have known how I was delivered to you, those who delivered me over to you, they had the greatest sin. And in that moment, in that one response, the Bible says from verse 12 on, Pilate tried to release Jesus. He beat him. And in one question, Jesus responds to him, and immediately he seeks to find a way to try and release him, and he couldn't. But that's not what I want to get to. I want to spend some more time in this idea of having a form of godliness. This is very interesting. I'm moving all the way down now, and I'm in verse 31. And as I'm in verse 31, I want you to know Jesus has gone through a terrible ordeal. I can't describe it. There's no movie that can depict it. But the Bible says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. Now, that means it was Friday afternoon or Friday morning, that time frame, right? Friday morning, Friday afternoon. It's getting close to the Sabbath hours. So they're in preparation mode. You know how you guys get prepared for the Sabbath? If you heard someone say amen, I can move on. Did someone say amen or just I was waiting. I was just waiting on that. I didn't know because they just kind of like I said preparation day as you prepare for the Sabbath. Everybody, like, boy, stop. You know, I didn't know. I thought this was a house of prayer, worship, Sabbath. So it says because it was a preparation. Amen. The Jews said the bodies should not remain on the cross that Sabbath day. Watch this. And that Sabbath day was a high day. I want you to understand, they were having this big celebration. It was Passover Sabbath. So for them, it wasn't just Sabbath. It was everyone came from all over. It was Passover. It was a big celebration day. like a youth congress. Yeah. And so because of that high day, they said, we can't have this spectacle of this man being crucified. Let's get him off the cross. But we still need him dead, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. The Bible says they had him on a cross. He was literally up there. He was dripping blood. And they said, we need to get him down because we got church service. We have a high day. We got a lot of stuff planned, a lot of activities for the children, for the young adults, for the older folk, you know, the seasoned saints. We have a lot of things planned, and we cannot have this man dripping blood. We can't have the blood coming out of his veins on the cross. We can't have the power, wonder-working power. We can't have all that, so we need to get him down. And here's what they said. In order to get him down quickly, they said here, then came the soldiers, and they broke the legs. And the reason why they did this, because the Jews came and said, Pilate, break their legs so that they can be taken away quickly. In other words, if you break his legs, he'll die even quicker. So they came, the Bible says in verse 32, they came to break the legs. And as they were breaking the legs, they came to Christ. And they saw that he was already dead. Have way for your high day. Christ has already died. Isn't it beautiful to know that when you're getting ready to do something, you can already say, Christ already died. Bible says when they came there, it gets good. I can't read it all. Don't have time. I know that I'm on time crunch. Half of you left already. Watch this. He don't let nothing go. He just don't, you know, he just, like, just said some stuff, just let it go. You know, okay, we saw everybody leave, but Jason, just keep it to yourself and keep reading. I'll keep reading. It says this. Here's what I love. I love it all. This is key. I'm in verse 38 for those of you who care. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, watch this, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Wow. Are you with me? Right? Secretly, for fear, watch this, of the Jews. There's some powerful word. We got to get back to these words, right? Dealing with power. It says he went to Pilate. He was a disciple of Christ, but it was secret. And he went to Pilate and he says, look, and he sought or he craved the body of Christ, begged for the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission to take the body. And he came therefore and took the body of Christ. But here it is. Watch this. Verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night. Why? Because he was scared of the people he was associating with. And they brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Christ on the cross. He's dead already. They need him gone because the Sabbath is going to be a high day. And they want him gone, so they want to break his legs, but he's dead already. And there's a person named Joseph who was secretly a disciple because he was scared. And because he was scared, he didn't let anyone know he was a follower. But when he saw Christ die the way he died, he comes and begs the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but you ever been in that moment where you want to speak up for Jesus and speak out about the goodness of God, but you're uncomfortable because of the situation, the setting that you're in? It happens a lot in board meetings, church board meetings. I'm not making up. I remember years ago, I was serving on a certain committee in a certain place under a certain administration with certain people. And we were having some discussions about certain documents and some things they were trying to get done. And I remember saying, why don't we pray? I never forget it, Kevin. I was looked at like, what? You're trying to stall the process. And I didn't know at the time it was political. It was a political move. They were trying to get some stuff done. And it wasn't a local church. This was a higher level. And I'm sitting in that meeting. And, you're kind of young and impressed. You think, oh, pray, because that's what we do, right? This is what we pray. When it's your first one, you say some stuff sometimes thinking that, you know, this is it. The first one sitting there, let's pray. And I was like, oh. And it wasn't until some time later I figured out, I see why you didn't want to pray. Because if you would have prayed, it would have went some different way. But it had, you wanted to go this way. I'm not even talking about being on your job, being out at school, and not wanting to speak up and being secret. I'm talking about right in church work. I'm talking about local church, conference level, union level, wherever it may be. Just being afraid to speak up because you know what you're dealing with and what you're surrounded by. This man, Joseph, was a secret disciple. But that's not what I want to get at. I want to talk about church services that interfere with our relationship with God. Christ on the cross, and these leaders were so concerned about the next day's services that they were trying to kill him quickly to get him out the way. I don't think anything's changed today. I think we want to kill Christ quickly, get him out the way, and use the name to promote our own agenda. I don't think anything's changed. I think it's a power move. And one of the things I realized with power, I never really understood, but power is about instilling fear in whomever it may be or whatever it may be in order to exercise power over that thing. That's how we typically set up our power. And so let's take, for example, I don't know, let me think. Here's one. Just came to me. Let's talk about all the illegal immigrants and get everyone real fearful of who's coming to this country. And if I can get them fearful, I can exercise power over those individuals who want a safer environment. Because one of the things that is oftentimes spoken about is people committing crimes who didn't have papers. But they don't go to the penitentiary and tell you how many people were locked up who committed crimes who had good papers. Birthers. Right? And so I realized that when Christ talks about this last day in Matthew chapter 24, can I read you what he says in Matthew chapter 24? We won't be long. I'll read it for you. You don't have to read it. That way we can get out of here and you don't have to read. You know, like, you know, in school, you tell somebody, you know, stand up and read. It gets real uncomfortable. You remember that? You remember, everybody remember that. You know, all right, who wants to read? All of a sudden, that spot on the floor looks real good. And we don't realize if you sat up front, you wouldn't get caught on. Right? You figured it out in grad school, sit up front. Maybe not. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the last days. This is Christ speaking. One of the more informative chapters you'll find regarding end day times and what things to look for. It says that he's in the Mount of Olives. He's speaking to his disciples. And they want to find out pretty much like, hey, you know, what's going to happen in the last days? And Jesus says, I want you to understand this. And this is just powerful. He goes through the series of events. He says, take heed that, I'm in verse 4, by the way. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Has anyone heard about any wars lately? Anyone hear about rumors of wars lately? Right? And it says, but be not troubled. In other words, don't fear. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, right? Kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. What does he say next? He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then he goes on to say, Adventist, watch this. This is important for you. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. This is important. This is stuff that got you scared back in the 80s that had you come to church, for those of you who were born in the 80s. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. This last part, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, and because sin will be rampant everywhere, that's what New Living Translation says, the love of many shall wax cold. Or New Living Translation says, the love of many will grow cold. Has anyone noticed how cold-hearted people have been lately? Like it's just, what? Who cares, right? Just real, just cutthroat. What I realized is that the more we get close to the coming of Christ, the more fear we operate with, and because of that fear, we love a whole lot less. And Christ explains how that happens. The Jewish leaders in Christ's time were fine killing him because they wanted to maintain their positions. Isn't that problematic? You want to maintain your church position, and in your church position, you tell the whole church that Jesus is soon to come. But when he gets here, you kill him so you can keep your position. Because what on earth would you do if he actually came? And you had to give up your position. Christ says in the last days, it's going to get worse because they're actually going to use my name to deceive you. So many of us hear Christianity, and it makes us believe they are all one. Christ says they'll deceive you. How can a person who says they're a Satanist deceive you? They can't, right? Because you're a Christian on your paperwork at the hospital. And this person says they don't believe in Christ, so there's no deception. But if two people say they believe in Christ, but the agenda of one is clear and blatant that they don't, that's how they can deceive you. Because they're telling you that you two are the same. And if you are a Christian, you would do this, believe this, think this. And that's why the disciple had to move secretly. But here's what I came here for, because I don't want to spend too much time there. I just want to say this. A form of godliness is not going to cut it. But there is this thing called love, and I never understood it. I kept thinking that love, or if you love someone or love something, it showed a sign of weakness. But Christ says, and his word is clear, and if you live it, you'll see it, that through love, you actually gain the power and the victory. Case in point. David writes these words, and it's familiar words. You find it in Psalms chapter 23. He says, yes, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will do what? I won't fear any evil. So I was looking yesterday and at the youth congress that Beta was sponsoring here in Orlando, and their theme is fearless. Right? Does that resonate with anyone? I think it kind of resonates with you. I saw you kind of do a little bit of a think tank. Says yes. Fearless. But I got stuck. I got stuck when I was looking at it because I was trying to figure out, okay, fearless or fearless? Make sense? I didn't get it because yeah, I'm a little remedial, so you know, take some time. It takes time. So I'm thinking fearless, the elimination of fear, or fearless, which means I'm just going to fear a little less than I did last time. When the disciple secretly was following Jesus, he wasn't fearless. He was just fearing less. And when he goes and begs for the body of Christ, and then Nicodemus rose up, who didn't beg for the body but came up with his 100 pounds of aloe and some myrrh, he was fearing less, but not fearless. David says, even when I walk in a valley and I'm covered and surrounded by death, I fear not. He doesn't say I fear less. He said, I fear no evil. And I'm like, what? And so I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking about when Paul is speaking to young Timothy. And I want you to recognize that as I'm looking at this discussion that Paul's having with Timothy, Paul is speaking to Timothy and he's writing from the position and from the perspective of, I'm ready to die. That's key. Because when you get a letter from someone who's getting ready to die, you read it a little differently. You take every word because now you know they're writing from a very sincere, open space. It's not that, oh, no, I'm seeing you next week, going to hang up. No. Paul says, I'm ready to be offered up. But Timothy, I'm giving you these last few words. And he says these things and to Timothy, and it's so just mind-boggling how you would think this. Paul is writing to Timothy. I'm looking at 2 Timothy, the second letter, the last one here. And I'm looking at verse 7. And Paul says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. He says, God didn't give us that. He said he gave us a power and of love and a sound mind. Now, wait a second. If God didn't give us a spirit of fear, right? And Paul says the flip side, because Paul's getting ready to die, right? Death is not easy, right? Getting ready to die. And he doesn't even know how they're going to kill him. And Paul's saying God didn't give us any fear. He didn't give us that spirit. I never knew that fear was a spirit. So if God didn't give us that spirit of fear, it means it comes from some evil spirit, and the devil used that evil spirit to disrupt your love relationship with God and strip you and rob you of your power. And all he, think about it now, he doesn't want you to be fearless. He doesn't mind if you're fearless because you still have that spirit. Ain't that something? You still have that spirit. And Paul says, God has given us a spirit of power. And then he breaks down and says, and of love. So when Pilate was talking to Jesus, and Pilate says to Jesus, don't you know I have power? Jesus said, you ain't got no power. No. Power comes from above. And so what Jesus is saying to him is, I don't fear no evil. Not that Jesus is saying, I fear less. I fear no, under the shadow of death, in the valley of it all, Pilate, he knows, when you talk to a person who knows they're getting ready to die, mark every single word. And Christ getting ready to go to the cross says, I fear no evil. But I want to go one step and then we'll close up this idea of living in this fearless or fearless experience. This is beautiful. John writes an epistle, right? And epistle is a fancy word that preachers use for letters. It's a Dear John letter. Get it? It's not really Dear John, it's really Dear You. John wrote it from the Holy Spirit's perspective. Another time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, his first epistle, his first letter, he writes three of them. He says, there is no fear in love. Watch that now. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear torments. He that fears is not made perfect in love. You ever been married and fear your spouse gonna leave you? Spouse gonna do something, cheat on you, not love you the same because you don't look the same? Or maybe you look different or you do look the same. just that fear. John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, says there's no fear in love, because perfect love gets rid of the fear. Here's what I'll tell people. I tell people this all the time. Don't spend time. Well, I want to tell anyone not to do this because you might need to. I was going to say don't spend time checking text messages, but you might need to check some text messages. But here's what I know about God. If you're wrapped up in Jesus and he's directing your relationship, he'll reveal exactly what's going on. If he needs to, if you follow me? You have to play detective because you get messy, clumsy. He'll reveal that thing like you've never seen before. That's how God does it. I'm just going to read this because it's beautiful. We love him because he first loved us. That's why we love Christ. So I'm having this conversation, and I'm looking at this thing, and Paul says that many of us have a form of God. In other words, we have a form of love. It looks like love. There's no substance in it. How do you get away from just having a form of godliness and move into the place where you actually have power with God? And I'll tell you this. Years ago, I was 2015-ish, right? I'm expecting a child. And Zika comes out. Remember Zika? Zika was troubling because Zika was coming on the wings of mosquitoes. And the problem with the mosquitoes is they don't tell you they're coming. It's like, it's not like you kind of, you know, wake up and mosquito, oh, the mosquitoes outside, stay inside. Mosquitoes are, you know, they're just there. And the mosquito will bite you. We say bite or sting you, right? And you don't know it. It's like a devil. Straight up. Seeking whom he may devour. Just hanging around. And I remember when the Zika virus hit, and they were saying it's transmitted through mosquitoes. And I remember we're expecting a child. And the problem you were having is you're pregnant, and you were hit by a mosquito that had Zika virus, and you ended up getting infected with a Zika virus, you could actually have a birth defect and not know it until you bring the child, you know, bring the child to term, and then you actually birth the child, and then you see the birth defect. My brother, I was living in fear. You follow me? I'm just be honest with you, because you see, you could be honest with me, right? Because everybody else look at me kind of like, boy, you ain't to be fearful. Like, you a child of the king, ain't you? Love the Lord all your heart. But there's times where you start seeing yourself, but I know a whole lot of people who love the Lord who dealt with all type of maladies, right? And the devil starts putting that spirit in your life, right? You start thinking about things. You start contemplating. And so I'm playing mosquito SWAT team over here, trying to make sure, no, don't get bitten, don't get it, and just doing all that stuff. And then while that child was in utero, we had some tests done, and they told me, and they told my wife, she was there too, but they told me that the child had a hole in his heart. I'm like, man, you ever leave the doctor's office? Like, I shouldn't even have came here. You ever have that moment, right? And so, and he's like, but you know, it may self-correct. You know, we've seen some things like this. We can kind of manage, you know, and then you all these little medical terms. All I keep thinking is Jesus. You know, I don't have time to go through your encyclopedia and ask you for a prognosis and a time. Jesus. That's all I got. But now I'm in fear. Let me go back to the doctor again. Oh, yeah, we see something else. God has some fluid on his kidneys. Hydrophrenosis. Did I say it right? Nope. How'd it go? What? Nephrophrenosis? Nephro. I am not one of them. All right? And I went to public school. And they have that word in my book. And I didn't get up to read it. I didn't raise my hand to read that one. So, the boy's not here yet. One thing, another thing, another thing. And that's that fear. That's a spirit of fear. But what I'm missing the part where before we even had any idea, we prayed for the boy. You know, you pray and ask the Lord to send one, and the Lord sends it, and now you're over here knocking knees because then the doctor told you this, the doctor told you that, doctor said, they show you the whole report.
Here, right, if you look right here, you see that's what it should look like. It's just not closing. See the image?
No, I don't know. I don't, like, what? Like, I don't know. I never saw mine. I don't know, like, I don't know what this looks, what? Looks fine. Is he waving? Like, I don't know, what? Throughout the pregnancy, praying, but praying from a fierce point and not a power point. You understand what I'm saying? Child finally comes forth. Heart, no problems. No hole, nothing. Zika, nothing. No bites. Or if there were bites, mosquito shield. I don't know how God did it. I don't know. Right? Kidneys still have fluid. So the challenge I'm having now is I'm trying to see, because over the next, you know, few months and weeks, they said it may self-correct. And what you have to look for is if the child is growing at a proper rate, and also if the kidneys are developing and growing, right? I'm going to nephrologist after nephrologist. See, I got that one right. Because they bill the insurance company. I know I got to pay the copay. I know their name. Nephrologist, I know the name. I can spell it. One after the other. And every 6 months, come back in. Then it turned into, okay, you know what? We're still monitoring. He's growing fine. But we still see some fluid here, bilateral. They're using all these little fancy little, we see it in this side, we see it in that side. But this one's growing. Okay. Now yearly. So Shereen, we're going here yearly now, right? And the boy's growing. Kidneys are growing, this centimeter, that centimeter, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I can't find the doctor. I'm supposed to go in February this year. Can't find a doctor. You ever can't find a doctor? If you can't find a doctor, there's a problem. Like, that's a doctor you've been dealing with, and all of a sudden, you've gone missing. Can't find the doctor. And I'm like, man, and so I'm calling his office, and I'm getting this little runaround, a silly answering machine. And so he has another office down south. And I'm like, okay, wait a second. And I'm trying to find him. And it takes some time, so I don't even get a chance to go on a regular scheduled month. And it gets pushed out for about 3 more months. Finally find him, Rodney, and make contact, get an appointment. Get the appointment, and we go to a different office. And the boy knows what he's going through, right? I mean, he knows every year, every 6 months, he's been going through these processes, these tests. He has to go to the hospital first. They have to do an ultrasound. They got to put the stuff on him. He has to sit there. He looks at himself in the little ultrasound imaging, right? And they get done doing that. We get the film, whatever. They send it down to the doctor. So he knows the process. He knows it. What he doesn't know is when he was a baby and they first had to test him, they actually had to put a catheter in him. Mm-hmm. That's what I did when I saw it. Poor child sat in the fetal position and sat there crying. Stuck the tube all the way up to want to see if he could expel properly. But this time we go, and we go to the doctor's office. We're there. The doctor comes in, and he looks at him. They take his weight. They take his height. They bring him back, take his pressure, all that stuff. And then he turns to me and says, and to him, and he says, no fluid. It's done. You're healed. You don't ever have to come back to me again. And for the first time, he's never had any reluctance about going. He's always just kind of goes and goes through it. He jumps up. I don't have to come back. I don't have to come back. And he hugs me. And I'm like, doctor, you really?
And I had to make sure I told him who it was. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Jesus took care. Because I want to make him know it wasn't you. Because I've been coming to you for over and over again. You didn't fix it. I kept coming to you. You didn't do it. Right? But it was the Lord. The battle's not yours. Doc. Nephrologist. You know what I'm saying? Right? And so at the end of the day, the reason I'm coming here is because I want you to know that I don't speak to you from a position of, I never fear. But I'm going from fearing less to being fearless. Because if we are not fearless, we will be under the power and the subjection of the devil. So today I simply stopped by on August 16th, 2025. To let Messenger of Hope know, we don't have to fear less. Let's be fearless because we have power. And the devil doesn't like your power. You literally have the power of love to turn anything in your favor. There is nothing that God will withhold from you. He says the power is in his love. See, what I didn't tell you is, August is a very interesting month for me and my family. August, just a couple of days ago, I celebrated 35 years of being alive. Because in the month of August is when they tried to kill me. And God says, I'm covering and I'm keeping him because I need him. I want him. I love him. And all of that fear, me running, blood on my face, running, all that fear, God says, I have something for that. I have power for that. It was in August when I was able to go back to school after having gotten kicked out. Long story. But I went back. And it was 24 years ago, today, first day, back at that place, or at that place, and God let me know, you have to move in fear, because you have my power. And wouldn't it be just like God to allow 9 years ago, today, this day, for me to mark the birth of my son, that God says, the doctor says all this stuff, but he's given me victory over every one of them. So when I say happy birthday to my young one, I don't say it because it sounds good, it's a good melody, and I get to eat cake. I say it because I know it was truly a happy birth. Day. And God is continually reminding me every time I look, you don't have to operate in a spirit of fear. I didn't give you that. I gave you love. So we live in a society now where a lot of fear is being poured out on us. What are we going to do? That's how we feel. That's how, and you can presume sometimes that some people feel a certain way. And then you see a certain bumper sticker. You'll see a certain flag. And it almost makes you feel as though, man, we're outnumbered. This world doesn't feel right. Even traveling abroad, it's uncomfortable now. Because of the way things have taken shape in our society. But God is clear. We don't move in fear. So today, my appeal is simple. I want to speak to those who want to get away from fearing less and just becoming fearless. Fearing less means you leave here today
take your same trouble with you and believe that God can do it. Watch me. This is what fearing less means. You believe God can do it. You just don't think he will. That's fearing less. But becoming fearless is when you say, I know God will do it. Because, oh, how he loves me. When speaking to Timothy, Paul, he says, I want you to know this, Timothy. In the last days, perilous times will come. He says, men shall love their own selves. They will covet. They'll be boasters, proud. Have you seen the Instagram feed? Little TikToks video? Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. He says they will be unloving and unforgiving. In other words, without natural affection. They will be truce breakers. They won't keep their promises. They'll be false accusers. Incontinent. In other words, they won't have any self-control. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. They'll be traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then he wraps up with our scripture focus. They will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. In other words, all the things I just described, that's in the church. So, message of hope. As I reflect today on all the victories that God has given me. God has given them to me to make sure that I don't just fear less, but I fear no evil. And I implore you, and my appeal to you is, if you want to become fearless, and not just fearless, if you want to walk like David and have nothing distract the love you have for God, if you want to live in your home and not be fearful, but speak words of power and love over your spouse, over your children, if you want to be able to go to work and not be concerned about, are they going to keep you? Are they going to get rid of you? Is Doge coming here? You just want to be able to be comfortable. And even if they do let you go on Monday morning, you just know God's got it covered. If you want that kind of power, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to have a prayer. But I want, before you stand, if you are going to stand, I want you to know that the only way you know if you're fearless is if you go through that trial. That's uncomfortable. Because it's easier to sit here and just kind of talk about it, but to go through it, it hurts. It's a lot of crying, a lot of pain, just a lot of long praying and the feeling as though you're not getting an answer. But if you want to not operate under that shadow, that spirit of fear anymore, but you want to move into a power move, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray over it, ask for God's anointing. And we're going to ask for, if there are parents who want to pray that their children don't operate and move in fear of friends saying things about them or even professors or teachers thinking a certain thing about them. If you want to pray over your children as they've gone back to school and you're preparing to send them away or they've already gone away, I'm going to invite you to stand as well. If there's anyone who wants to pray on behalf of someone, it could be a classmate, it could be a colleague, it could be an individual who doesn't like you, and maybe you're having trouble liking them as well. But you know they need some prayer over their situation. I'm going to invite you to pray as well while I'm praying. We're moving from the place of fear. Because fear does all type of strange things. they feared Christ, so they killed him. We want to move to a place where our love overcomes all obstacles and moves us into a place where we're no longer walking in trepidation, but we're walking in the strength of love. We're praying, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your mercy and for your love. Dear God, we appreciate today, August 16th, 2025, dear Lord, where you have brought us to this place for worship, where we, dear Lord, can look back on our lives and realize, dear God, that you have led us along the way. And even when we have gone astray, dear Lord, and we have deviated, dear Father, even when we have gone, dear Lord, and done things in accordance with our own desires and our own pleasures, dear Father, you are so kind that you wait on us and you protect us even in the midst of our sin and foolishness. And dear Lord, you bring us to a place where we can come now and recognize your awesomeness and your love for us. So dear Lord, we are tired of moving in fear. We want, dear Lord, to move in the strength of your love, and we want to be able to stand up, dear Lord, before governors like Pilate, dear Father, and say, you have no power except to be given to you from above. My Father in heaven is the one with power. You've told us, dear Lord, in your gospel of Matthew, dear Lord, chapter 24, that there will be times, dear God, where they'll betray us. They'll turn us over, dear Lord. They will seek to kill us. And some of us, dear Lord, will very well lose our lives. But dear God, you said, do not fear. For you are with us, oh God. Wherever we go, you are with us. And as you told your disciples, dear Lord, I ask for that word today, dear God, here at Mesh of Hope. Let not our heart be troubled. Let's not be concerned and fearful of all these things. If we believe in God, you'll take care of all things. So, dear Lord, today we ask for the power of love. We ask, dear Lord, that you will take this spirit of fear out of our lives. Take the spirit of fear, dear Lord, away from our jobs. Take the spirit of fear away from our relationships, dear God. Take the spirit of fear, dear Lord, away from our health reports. Take the spirit of fear, dear Lord, away from our church experience, dear Father, our worship experience. Take the spirit of fear away, I beg you. Allow us, dear Lord, to walk in new hope, and allow us, dear Lord, to walk in the strength of you, and allow us, dear God, to, even if we're in the valley of the shadow of death, to speak out, dear Lord, not just say it with words, but the way we live, dear Father, I will fear no evil, for you are with us wherever we go. Help us to banish fear from our lives. Help us, oh God, to seek a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to move away all of these spirits of fear. Move the devil from our lives, I beg you. And allow us to experience the joy of you, knowing, dear God, that there are more with us than those who are against us. Help us, oh God, to not allow the world to dictate who you are, but for us to know you as our personal Lord and Savior. Dear God, save us, I beg you. Cover our children. Help them, dear Lord, to get rid of the fear gene out of their lives as well. Help us, dear Lord, to teach our children to walk strong, dear God, and know about the power in you. That, dear Lord, we can be mighty men and mighty women of valor. Help, oh Lord, I beg you. Teach us more of you, I pray. Help us, dear God, to exercise self-control, discipline, and your love. We thank you this day. We love you, and we thank you for power. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you.